yo, yo.
Check this out.
This out.
Previously heard.
Previously heard. Good Hope FM.
Let's go.
We are out and about celebrating one of Cape Town's most historical places and a place that keeps the history of an area that was known as the soul of Cape Town alive. A place so rich in cultural life with all of its residents and homes and culture. I cannot believe that just being here, and I've been here so many times before, the feeling of belonging and also sadness for the history of this place still remains the same. And I'm super excited to be able to speak to the man who has kept the spirit of District 6 alive, Uncle Joe Schaefers, who of course is a former resident of District 6. And of course, he has been sharing the story of District 6 here at the museum for as long as I can remember. And not only just nationally, but internationally as well. Uncle Joe, as you are affectionately known, welcome to Good Hope FM.
Well, thank you very much for having us, having me. It came as a bit of a surprise, actually.
I know you walked in here and you're like, what is going on?
Yes, I thought, what the dickens? I thought you were just going to be speaking to somebody, you know, on the sidelines here. And suddenly we get the whole studio inside here with everybody.
There we go.
Of Good Hope right here.
Aww.
Thank you.
Well, we are so happy to be around a gentleman of great importance. We caught you just as you arrived back from the University of Columbia. How was that visit?
Well, that was actually amazing because, you know, the problem is that in many cases people have no idea of what we actually went through.
Yeah.
And when the truth gets told from somebody who'd been there, who's experienced it, who's worked with the people in the specific areas, worked with them physically, lived in the areas as well, then becomes a different story altogether.
Yeah.
And it's not sort of glamorizing it. You're telling it as it is. Talking about the pain of the people you're talking about. The suffering of the people, destruction of people's lives. Our people lost their families, their possessions, and everything because of an ideology. And that ideology called apartheid, which is still being very much alive these days, but only it's used in different terms in different parts of the world. But it's still separation of people.
Absolutely.
Because of the color of their skin, and possibly due to religions as well. So we need to get away from that. We are supposed to be the intelligent species.
Yeah.
And we are supposed to be looking after each other and looking out for each other. But everything is driven by greed and selfishness. And this is the big problem that we still experience, and that goes through the whole world. And we know, and I'm not even going to mention names of places now, we know what the biggest problem is at the moment.
Yeah.
And that is another problem. We don't want to be caught up in this whole story now, but people know what I'm talking about. So I'm going to leave it hanging out there and you can draw your own conclusion from that.
I hear you. I hear you. You mentioned greed and selfishness and us being the most intelligent species. And today we still see time and time again that the very same thing that happened in the late 1960s when you and your family was forcibly removed and 60,000 other residents of a, you know, a beautiful, beautiful place known as District 6. You know, when that happened and we see history repeating itself in so many ways. And then you go to the University of Columbia and you share your story, which is more than just a story. This was your life. This was yours, a shared memory and a shared time with so many other people. Why is it so important for places like museums like the District 6 Museum to stay open, to stay alive, for the story to be shared? Why is it so important?
Well, the thing is that, you know, museums are always important because there's always somebody coming after you.
Yeah.
And if museums are not there, the story will not be told. So we need the storytellers and we need the museums. We need our archives so people can know what happened to you, that the same mistakes aren't made again. But unfortunately, this is not so easy. It's easy to say, but it's not easy to do. Because our big problem is, again, I always say that the whole thing is driven by greed, selfishness, empowerment. Every war that was fought greed, power, empowerment, minerals. Never mind the people. Global warming, all due to the same thing. Destruction of arable land to go after gold, to go after oil, to go after these. And the people that's around that area all suffer. And the people that's causing it are getting enriched. And I always say, how much is enough? How much can you actually have? And I always say, I'd like to see some of these oligarchs or these billionaires wake up one morning and their cornflakes will be actually gold flakes. And their coffee will be a tin of oil because they've destroyed all the arable land. Mm. And global warming has done the rest.
Yeah.
And I was so amused because I looked at something the other day, or yesterday, on Facebook where what they call themselves, they laugh, these scientists laugh because they say there's no such thing as global warming. And I thought, then I must be dreaming somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
But it's again, wow. Things are balanced and how things are told and people then start believing. And this is what's driven into people's minds all the time.
Mm.
And we that experience it have got to tell it. And fortunately, with mediums like yourselves here, more people are being reached, being told what is really the real story, the story behind the story. And this is what's got to be made known to everybody. And
absolutely,
that is what I do.
Absolutely, and you do it so well. I think that you are definitely one of the fathers of Cape Town. I remember when we used to come here for, you know, school outings. We all remember Uncle Joe. So many people remember you and love you. And, you know, your life has been so incredible when, you know, those 60,000, those thousands and thousands of residents of District 6 were removed and, you know, put in areas where they had to rebuild, you know, their lives deteriorated. You stepped up and you became a leader for so many, inspiring people, helping them along your journey. You know, you had a completely different profession. And then, of course, you dedicated your life to working in this museum and keeping the memory of District 6 alive. What has that meant to you? To see people like myself, Sandra, who was fangirling when she saw you. You know, all of us, we look up to you. You are one of the true celebrities. Like, this is what a celebrity really is. Someone who's celebrating for what they have done for, you know, a generation and many, many generations. When you look at that and you see the lives changed, what does it mean to you?
Well, for me, it's actually, it's also a life changer. To see that, yes, it does resonate with people. It does get through. And, you know, the big thing is that many people, or children especially, don't know why they are, where they are.
Sure. So true.
Because when their parents were shifted out and men moved into these areas, a lot of them were youngsters, some were born in those areas. They had no clue what their parents went through, what their grandparents went through. Absolutely no clue. And I think it's also maybe a case of the grandparents and parents also being too shy to say, we never stood up.
Yeah.
We never stood up for you. We shouldn't have been here. We should have stood up more.
Mm.
But unfortunately, the youngsters wouldn't know what they had to go through. They didn't know about the laws that were put in place. And the arms that were in the hands of the oppressors. The minute you stood up to that, you became a dissenter. You became a communist. And you all even you stand up and say, but why are you shifting me out of places I've been living all my life?
Yeah.
But remember all those places people were moved out of. Were all places of prime property importance. You must know in the city of Cape Town alone, there were 42 areas of forced removals, of which District 6 was the largest concentration of people being moved out, where plus minus 60,000 of us were taken from the center of the city and moved at 15 to 36 kilometers outside of the city into what is generally called the Cape Flats.
Yeah.
Of course, we know the Cape Flats is everything between the Atlantic Ocean, your Indian Ocean, and at that time consists of sandy, windy, Port Jackson-covered areas.
Yeah.
And it's in these areas that people of color were dumped after being racially divided and placed into what is known as townships. Your townships, which is based on your Nazi ideology of ghettos, but unlike those ghettos, we didn't have barbed wire fence and gun towers to keep us in. But we were entrenched in these areas after being racially divided by means of rail lines, highways, rivers, and industrial areas. So much so that 30 years down democracy, you find that some people still believe this is my area, sure, that is your area. Mm. You don't belong over here, I don't belong mm-hmm. over there. There's still the divides.
Yeah.
Now we've got to learn to overcome that.
Yeah.
And that's going to take another couple of generations because of the good work that was done by that Nationalist Party to get it ingrained into yeah. our minds. And we ourselves then start dividing.
And that is, I think, the greatest tragedy, is that that divide still exists, with us. You can
I
look at so many cultures and you can see how they stand together, how they are united.
Yeah.
But with our people, the divide still exists.
The divide exists. And I think it's a mindset that was created. And as I said, it's going to take a couple of generations yeah. to undo the damage yeah. that was done.
Yeah.
And remember, that this prime property, let me just get a case in point. You take District 6, where people live. And if you the setup of District 6. Remember in the early years, your castle,
yeah.
that was your, because that was used as a halfway station for the spice trade between the Holland and the Far East. And because of its locality and the harbor being much closer, all the immigrants who came along, they naturally settled behind the castle. So, of course, then we had our various groups. We had Dutch, English, Dutch, German, French, Portuguese. From our slave experience, people from the Caribbean islands, Mozambique, Malaysia, Indonesia, Madagascar, India. The Jews that came from Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. Yeah, and Kosa, and of course, our Khoi and San folks. So there was a cultural mix, which over the years, of course, would have evolved into a religious mix. So we had Anglicans, Catholics, Hindus, Muslims, Jews, AME, Methodists, Moravian, Lutheran, Baptist, New Apostolic, Congregational, you name it, I could wrap it all for you. I'm not going to do that. But the one thread that went through the whole of District 6 was the thread of respect for each other as people.
Sure.
And not because of your creed, your color, or your culture.
Wow.
And people learn to coexist and live together in a form of harmony. And I suppose I can bear testimony to that because I grew up in that era. Yes, we used to give each other crazy nicknames, yeah. Very tall, they're going to call you Shorty. Very thin, they'll call you Fatso. Very dark, they call you Snowy or Whitey. But these were done tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah,
and more so when you're in a sporting trade like soccer and rugby, you get a nickname, that's what you sort of died with. Other than that, there was just that living together. Until 1948, when your nationalist government came into power and brought all those horrid laws along. The Separate Immunities Act, your Immorality Act, your yeah. Mixed Marriages Act, your Group Areas Act, and each one of these acts were geared to separate white from non-white, European from non-European. Then I always ask when I'm speaking to my classes and I'm speaking to the groups, and it's all about the color of the skin, then I ask, what is this obsession about color of skin? Do some people think because they're lighter, they are brighter? Hell no, that's not going to work in my case. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
You see, so these are the type of things that you've got to be getting across to people.
And that is why you are here, and that is why the work that you have done is so, so, so important. I tell you, I could sit and listen to Uncle Joe for years and years and years. Maybe we should kick out everything else and just sit and listen to you. Uncle Joe, hopefully we'll get a chance to wrap it up with you again towards the end of the show. Thank you so much.
It's only a pleasure.
Thank you for everything
again
that you've been doing at this museum for us as a city, for us as a nation, for us as a country.
Tune in to goodhopefm.co.za.
It's all you need.